but it should be going.
Live
now? We're live? Yes, I think we're live. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Welcome to the Brumbies versus Hurricanes live post-match review, brought to you by the Driving Mall in conjunction with the Scottish Cannon. How are you doing, sir?
Great. No, actually not great. But yeah, we're great and we're not great at the same time.
We're great, we're not great. Okay, so don't be confused by the name. Daniel is ever in Sydney and is a Aussie rugby fan. Obviously, I'm in Auckland wearing my Blues jersey. Still with pride, even though I've been told I shouldn't be doing so. Having
Aussie polo top on.
There we go. So we're all decked out in our kit. But we could do if Rebel Sports gave us some nice kit, that'd be even better. So there you go, a little plug in there, a little beg for sponsorship. Oops, sorry. So quick early doors. If you were listening to the podcast, because I might put this out on the podcast, then please do subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please give it a thumbs up. Let's actually get on and talk about rugby. I mean, that's why we are here, isn't it? Yep. Okay. Yep. So this game started off well for the Brumbies. They had we should actually tell people what the score was in case anyone hasn't been keeping up. So the Hurricanes won 16-35.
Yeah, it was.
There you go. 16-35 at the end. But it was 16-15 at halftime, and the Brumbies were looking good for the Brumbies. And that's right. For the first sort of 5 or so minutes, they had all the ball. They sat in the Hurricanes at 22, and they came away with points. I mean, that's got to be the was the first one the driving mall? I thought the
second one. I think they had a penalty or something, and then they came back and did it again.
That's right. And I think that was the big thing about this game was actually the first half for me was actually they were getting points. So what was that the good thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they should have scored 20 points. The two conversions were off the post from Howard. So his boot probably wasn't on today. But, you know, they're scoring points. It's got two tries, two penalty goals. The scrum was dominant in the first half. The driving ball was dominant in the first half. The lineup was strong. They were doing pretty much everything. They were on top of the penalty count. The discipline wasn't bad. The Brumbies were playing the game that they had to against the Canes. But the second half was completely different, wasn't it?
It was, but there's way more to get through. First off, the other thing in the first half, I think the only thing for me that they weren't doing in the first half was getting over the game line and actually making yards. They were looking after the ball well. The scrum was functioning well. I thought both sides had the upper hand at times on the scrum. The line out and the driving mall were going fine. The kicking was okay. But the one thing they weren't being able to do was to get over that game line that much. I remember seeing a stat at one point. I think they were like 50% game line, whereas the Hurricanes, with the little ball they had, were 65% game line, which showed that they weren't getting over that game line and that their territory was really won by Hurricanes mistakes at the restart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, completely agree there. It's also with the Hurricanes. Obviously, their advantage line is always going to be much higher. Their forward pack compared to the Brumbies forward pack with Lousy and, you know, they had huge bodies across the field. You had the Tongan Bear come in on the second half. He was like, wow, no one wants to tackle him. And he's going to get over the gain line every time he runs, doesn't he? He got caught up once and that ended up learning to a turnover, but you don't see that often from Lousy. Shows you the, you know, Fafita and Arnie Savir was absolutely immense this game. They're all getting over the game line every time they run the ball, pretty much.
Yeah, but Fafita was he had that lovely break down the down by the sideline in the second half. He was always getting near the kickers when they were kicking and putting pressure on, ruining the kicks. I think he had a pretty good game. I did see in the stats, I think earlier when I looked, that he caused a couple of turnovers, but I really don't remember those particularly off the top of my head. The first off was about getting that territory off poor restarts and then taking advantage of the penalties that the Hurricanes were making, because the Hurricanes had made something like 7 or 8 penalties in the first half and they were getting points. And that's the big thing that Australian sides haven't done this year, is when they've been in the opposition half, it's taking advantage of that and getting the points. And if we have a quick look at some of the stats, the Brumbies end up having Actually, only 49% territory to 50% territory for the Hurricanes, and a bit of a rounding off there somewhere, getting rid of that 1%. And they had slight of a hand on possession. Mm. But at that stage, I say they were in single fit. They were only down to like three penalties, whereas the Hurricanes had something like eight. They also, the Hurricanes weren't executing in that first half.
No.
Because the Brumbies' tackle percentage was down in the low 70s. As well, it's around about 70s, whereas the Hurricanes tackle percentage was up in the 80s, and that kind of told as well, and really the difference at early in the second half was down to kicking. And he has got, and I've just gone blank as the guy's
Thomas Cabelli,
the kicker, the Howella. He has got the weirdest kick, and for penalties, he can get away with it because he takes two steps, he takes a step forward and then stops and then carries on with his run with his running thing. But for conversions, when he's got players charging him, it just doesn't work. He gives them far too much time. They get in his eye line and clearly it puts him off. I mean, he hit the post twice with conversions, failing both conversions.
That's 4 points.
And that's 4 points. And early on in the second half, that was the difference between between the sides. And then... Well,
can I say something about the Brumbies in that? You talked about the tackle percentage. Even though it was lower, they were the most important tackles. You saw Rory Arnold come through and do amazing work taking down that maul in that first half. You had amazing defense from Julian Saab. And over, across the sidelines. So the defense, even though the percentage wasn't that high, they're making the tackles where it counted. And that's why the Hurricanes only scored two tries in the first half. And that second try they scored in the first half to Jordy Barrett. Pretty lucky with the Falcons. I don't know. Was it a plan move? Was it not? Who the hell knows? But, you know, the New Zealanders can create something out of nothing as they usually do.
So as the Brumbies tries they got it wide where Barrett misread it, got themselves misaligned, and they got the overlap, and the other try came from a from the driving maul. Should talk probably about the two tries in that first half from the Hurricanes. The first one was off a set move. Now you've got a back line here.
Yep.
TG Perenara, All Black. Bowden Barrett, All Black. Asso, All Black. Jody Barrett, All Black. Julian Surveyor, All Black.
Limape, All Black.
Milman Scudder, All Black. Limape, not Asso. Sorry, wrong way around. Goosen, Husen, who's he? Oh, he's the guy that scores the tries. and it was a beautiful one. Beautiful work move. So you've got that attacking talent out the back there, all of All Blacks. And you can see the Brumbies all lining themselves up going, he is going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem. Who got that guy?
It's a brilliant try.
It was a brilliant try.
It was like it was pretty much a mirror try of the George North try in the Six Nations last year against Scotland. He ended up being four defenders. Do you remember that one? Maybe you don't, but it was right off the back, and George North stepped three or four Scots back on the inside and went in under the post, just exactly like Goosen did this game. It was a great try. I love seeing set piece tries like that.
It was George North's one though came from a pass back inside, didn't it? Whereas Goosen was it was a long line out straight over top of everybody. Goosen was up quick, caught it on the full, came off his foot, beat the 10, 9, 11, and went over untouched. So we're talking, there was no passes, just got the line out throw in, and no one touched the player. That's just crazy defense. The Brumbies really should have been very upset with that one. And then the second try. Okay. So for those of you who didn't see it, apparently it's called a falcon. I've never heard that term before.
Wow. You're living in something. Falcon. We love our falcons over in Australia.
So what happens, TJ Perenara throws out a pass, and it's a pretty – TJ's passing tonight was not that great. We saw Bowden Barrett with his hands in the air catching the ball a few times. And this was a poor pass. I'm assuming here it wasn't a planned move before anyone, which is the commentators were all saying, hey, schoolboys across New Zealand and Australia are going to spend the rest of the are going to be in, on the pitch tomorrow learning how to head a rugby ball.
Who wants to do that? No one.
Because this is what happened.
At least some brain cells.
TJ from the ruck throws out a poor pass, smacks his prop, I think it was, in the head. The ball bounces up and forwards. Jordy Barrett runs through, picks up and just puts it down over the line.
Played the whistle.
Exactly. Now, for all us armchair refs, we're all going, knock on! But luckily, I've been educated this season because I saw a player where the ball hit his chest and went forwards, and it wasn't called a knock-on. Now, 9 times out of 10, it's called a knock-on because the player's playing at it. But this time it wasn't. So my understanding, and I've got a ref here in the room, well, online, is that...
involved at Super Rugby level.
Who has been involved at Super Rugby level, yes. Do you want to tell us what the knock-on rule is and why that wasn't the knock-on?
If it hits from the hand to the forearm, it's a knock-on. And the Falcon was... As soon as the ball hit the Falcon and then Jordy Barrett went through, I'm like to my brother, try, definitely a try, unless there was a knock-up in the lead-up, which they did look back and see. Perinara didn't lose the ball. It's try every day of the week. That's the law. And I'm like on Twitter, should the law change to include knock-ons for Falcons? And there's a few yeses, but mostly it's like it's so rare. It's not a non-issue. But then that comes up to that rare instance in the Lions tour where Van Wiener took out the legs of I can't remember who in the air, and that ended up costing the All Blacks a match. So they're rare instances, but they happen.
They are, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a set move or two being planned in the in various training grounds for a bit of a laugh and see whether they get away with them, because why not? So they got away with that one. The other thing that happened just towards the end of the first half was the yellow card as well.
Yeah.
So go on. From a ref's point of view, was harsh red card, yellow card, or
yeah, harsh yellow card, but the right card, contact to the head, falling down, you know, shoulder to the head normally is a red card, but you took into consideration, you know, it was pretty much a half tackle, and just on the way down, came in with the shoulder. You know, those things happen in rugby. You see those quite a few times in the game, but it's a yellow card. It's a yellow card, right call, tough call. Didn't end up hurting the Hurricanes, which was absolutely mental. But you know, right yellow card, just very very tough, especially with the new guidelines this year. It's a yellow card.
So that's right. Just a little bit clearer explanation. So once the player was being tackled, he was coming down. The second tackler came in, and for what was going to be a hard hit into the body, but because the player was going down, got him in the head, and therefore off he went. Yes, Christian, I do see your comment in the notes there about my Blues jersey. Yes, I'm still wearing it. I do wear Super Rugby jerseys for Super Rugby chats, and I try and wear a right jersey for what I'm talking about. But yes, we've already had a go about that. That I should be embarrassed to be wearing it, but no, not at all. Cool. So the yellow card, as we say, totally legitimate according to the rules, but a really unlucky one that one for the player. So... And as you said, during that 10 minutes, the Brumbies scored no points. The Hurricanes kicked over a penalty. So it was 3-0 during that 10 minutes. Nil-3 during that 10-minute period. And boy, did the Brumbies get unlucky at the end of that first half, getting held up over the line. Their maul try nearly got called up for over the line as the ref couldn't see the grounding. And boy, did we have to spend some time with the TMO checking out every single angle until he could find one that spotted the ball. So the Brumbies got a bit lucky there. But it was correctly a try. It was one of those ones where, in the old days, it's given. The ref can't see it, but you know what? There's a pile of bodies. They've had it. They've got it down. On the second attempt, he got held up over the line, and that led us into half-time. So that's half-time. Anything in the first half? I think that's We probably covered everything there.
I don't think there's too much else. I think one note to mention was some people mentioned the crowd. The crowd's pretty dire in Canberra. Do you want to sit out in -5 degrees? Yes or no? I don't know. If I was in Scotland, maybe, but in Canberra, yeah.
It did look cold, didn't it, out there? My weather site said it was 3 degrees, but that's without wind chill. But yeah, I mean, the ground was what, a fifth full if you're lucky. It really was a poor crowd for a finals game. But let's be honest, all the news, all the talk around Australian rugby this season has been negative. Yep. There's been nothing positive to say about it. The crowds are down. So it's all along those lines. Christian, thanks for the good chat message. I'd rather have a Blues jersey than a Wallabies one. Well, my friend on the other side has got his.
Maybe the Lions. But lots of the symbols.
So on in there. Now, so let's get off the second half then.
Yeah.
How did it all change? What went wrong for the Brumbies?
They took off Jake Gargaville for whatever reason. He was probably the Brumbies' best in that first half, and he got taken off for Lee Lafano. While Lee Lafano is a great story, he hasn't played rugby all year. And there's a strategic move with a winger that's playing so well. That decision was just boneheaded, as Brett Hartley put on Twitter, by Larkin. Why would you do that? I don't know if you would have any perspective. Why would you take off your pretty much top three player to bring on Lee Lafano, who has hardly played rugby this year?
I thought Dargaville was getting a bit targeted by the kicks, and he definitely dropped at least one. And I think that might have been. So I don't know if that was it, if they were a bit worried about Dargaville under the high ball. But that's about the only thing I could see about his game that wasn't or any reason to a tactical change. Maybe to bring another kicking option on. But then again, Christian Leofano didn't kick.
No.
But we know he's a good kicker. So
that entire half, Leofano. I saw him with the ball once, I think, and he hardly made any clearances. So must have done the defensive work, but hardly saw him there.
Yep. And maybe he was brought up, maybe he was going to be the penalty kicker or the place kicker. But the Bob Brennies didn't create any opportunities to do so. So he really didn't come on and do that much in that one. I guess we saw a continuation of the first half. The first half, the Brumbies got territory on the whole through two ways. One was Hurricanes messing up restarts, and the other one was Hurricanes giving away penalties. That's the only way they were really getting meters. There were occasional breaks, but not very many. And in the second half, the Hurricanes didn't mess up restarts. There weren't any scores for them to mess up restarts with either. And secondly, they stopped giving away penalties because they had the ball.
But one instance I want to mention is in that first couple minutes, the Brumbies got the penalty for Fadi. Well, a very strong body position over the ball with got isolated Julian Thavir. However, did not find touch. He did not find touch. Get ball given to Bolton Barrett. He kicks it completely up the field. Fadi gets the ball, throws the ball into his own in goal. And then the Brumbies get the court 5 meters, held up across their own game line, 5 meters scrum to the Hurricanes. That completely changed the match. As soon as he missed touch, the Brumbies did not cut out of that half, did not get into the Hurricanes half the entire second half.
Yeah, and I think that was Fafita's break, wasn't it, that then led to Fadi throwing it back into his own try rate. It wasn't actually a kick. But yeah, but it was...
It was in the lead up. It wasn't too much further on.
Yep. You're right. He missed that touch. I think what everyone was expecting to happen with that one was they'll kick to touch, line out more penalty, line out more penalty, line out more try.
Right.
That was scripted as to what was going to happen. He didn't need to go for that much ground because he's going to get another penalty through a maul anyway. So just gets in the other half where you're happy to do a maul rather than your own half because you don't really want to be mauling.
Why would you not find touch?
He didn't find touch, and that's really where he lost that one.
And even though Scott Fadi, though, I mean, he had the support there to prevent that break from happening. Why would you throw it? Why would you throw it back and try and get the quick clearance away? Take the tackle, get the clearance of the ball, and then do your exit after that. Makes no sense to me.
Yep, he should have done. I think he saw a player there he thought he could offload to, and he executed badly. That was really it. And, the Hurricanes were not totally faultless themselves. TJ put a kick into touch, and they definitely weren't executing some of their moves in the first half. But in the second half, they played, and as the commentator said, they played finals footy. They knew that the Brumbies weren't going to go the length of the pitch. They haven't been going the length of pitch all season. They've got occasional long length tries, but not very many. So all they had to do was kick their restarts long and just pin the Brumbies in their own half. And the Brumbies were just kicking the ball back out to try and get territory, losing the line out and ending up back where they started. Basically what the second half was. If you add into that a tackle percentage that actually did raise up to just about 80%, by the end, they still missed over 20 tackles
So it was over 30, I think, by the Fox Sports stats from what I saw at the end of the game. But, to be fair, the amount of defending that the Brumbies did that entire half, that number was always going to get up. You're not going to get 100% of tackles with 83% of territory that the Canes had in the second half there.
You know, but then the penalty count suddenly didn't massively go against them. The Hurricanes, I said, had ended the first half with 8 or 9 penalties, ended the game with 10.
Yeah.
So they only gave up 1 or 2 penalties in the second half, whereas the Brumbies had about 3, I think it was at halftime, went up to 7. They lost 4 as well.
And I did think that Glenn Jackson had a bad call of penalty, that he pinned Scott Seale for being on the ball, but said his hands on the ruck. He beat the ruck. Clearly hands on the ball. I think he got that penalty wrong, which also was another rub of the green penalty that changed the match because he went for 3 points instead of down the other side of the field. From my view, that it would have been the penalty to the Brumbies, but, you know, Glenn Jackson's the world-class referee.
Yeah, referees are people. They will make the odd mistake. And I think, the commentators picked up on that one as well, and they were saying if he was on the other side of the ruck, he probably would have seen it differently from his angle. It's what it looked like. So yeah, he's going to have there's going to be a few of those, unfortunately, that happen. But I think on the whole, Glenn Jackson had a fine game.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, he wasn't influencing.
I only had one call I disagreed with, and that's pretty good for a referee.
That's not bad over 8 minutes, is it? So they then basically the Hurricanes couldn't get out, and the Brumbies couldn't get out their own 22. And the Hurricanes sat there and played finals footy. They did something they haven't been doing all season. They were kicking penalties at sticks. They did it in the first half. So Geordie had a couple of kicks at sticks. And basically the difference in the score between the sides was Geordie kicking his conversion versus the Brumbies not kicking their conversions until about the 69th minute.
Yeah.
So the Brumbies were in this for a long time.
Yeah.
When not looking like they were going to score or win.
No.
So hats off.
Hanging on by a thread. Yeah.
Hats off to the Brumbies defense. for that, yes, they were missing tackles, but they, as you said, they were making the important tackles. They were scrambling, but it did look like they were scrambling the whole time.
Yeah, exactly right. What I'll say is the Canes did try to go to touch a couple of times before they went for the penalties, but they respected the Brumbies' defense and then finally went to the post. It was straight in that second half when they got a penalty in front of 5 meters out from the stinks with that yellow card. It was a smart decision to go for the 3 points because they wanted to bring the yellow card back on. But as soon as that 50th to 65th minute, they tried to go to touch a couple of times. The Brumbies defended well, and they're like, Too good here. We'll take the 3 points and we'll give you the respect that you deserve, sort of thing.
Yeah, and it wasn't until TJ's... up until the 69th minute, we were at 16-21, as I say. So only a 5-point difference, and that was mainly down to kicking differences between the sides, not anything else. And then 69th minute, Coles dummies, steps his player, gets past the second tackler, sees a player in front of him, knows there's someone on the inside, looks, Perinara. Pops the ball to TJ Perinara, bang, he's in, oops, and it's basically game over.
I think we missed this is the Thomas Cabelli kicks. The Brumbies kept kicking the ball away when they got it. Why would they do that? Sometimes they're justified, 5 meters out from the line, of course you kick it out, but Thomas Cabelli kicked the ball probably 3 times when he should have held it. And then you heard the Brumbies fans go boo because they kept kicking it away. Why would you kick it to Bowden Barrett, Geordie Barrett, and Julian Saavia? It doesn't make any sense to me. He had an awful box kick that went straight to Geordie Barrett and went straight back up the end of the Brumbies. So, Thomas Cabelli made some really bad decisions as well. And he should probably hold his head in shame because as soon as he came on, the Brumbies attack looked much worse than when Joe Powell was on.
He did manage. He managed a couple of turnovers. As well. So it wasn't a totally
good mark 22 out.
Yep. But you say when they were out there in 22, they were still kicking the ball away when they didn't need to, and the kicking was poor. Which the other thing is, they were not contestable kicks. and that was a big difference. They needed to be getting the chasers there to contest it, whereas the Hurricanes' kicks, when they were kicking, generally were contestable. And the Brumbies did kick an awful lot. I mean, it evened up towards the end, but 32 kicks from hand from the Brumbies. When you've
32? That's ridiculous.
Whereas the Hurricanes kicked 32% kicks from hand when you've got 31% of possession, and most of that possession was towards the end of the half as well, is that that second half is just crazy. You have to have the ball for some time to give your tacklers some respite.
Also, something else that I will know about the kicking is how they put through three grubber kicks in the first and second half when the Brumbies had the momentum and the kicking. Why? He's done that the entire Super Rugby season. It has not worked once. He still thought it worked. Brumbies were 22 metres out, got over the game line with four or five phases, then puts a grubber in straight to the to Goose, and then he kicks it up the field. That's the way you completely change the game. Brumbies lost this game and horrible decision making. That was it. And also the Canes class, but that was it.
Yeah, the Canes in the second, in the second half didn't make mistakes, and whereas they did in the first, and that was the difference between the sides. And as you say, the decision making and grubber kicks. I mean, both sides tried them, and none of them really came off for either side. That really wasn't there. But you've got Alatoa. You're asking him to make 19 tackles. Alcock made 19 tackles. Fardy, 14 tackles. Carter, 12. These guys needed some respite. They needed someone to hold on to the ball for a bit and let them get their breath back. But no, that wasn't what was going to happen, and hence they're going to make mistakes from that. Whereas if we look at the Hurricanes, the most tackles, Ardie Surveyor, 8, Brad Shields, 8. Mm. It's way down on the Brumbies players. I meant the players didn't, their work rate, or they didn't have to work necessarily quite as hard there. So I think that was that's a big thing, as you say, having that problem about just kicking the ball away the whole time just killed them. So then we had that try by TJ Perenara. Yeah. Then it wasn't really until then that we saw the Brumbies hold onto the ball and try things. And they were throwing it around. We ended up with two forwards in the back line, realizing they had to passed it. And what happens? Jordy Barrett steps in, grabs the ball, intercepts the ball, gives it to Houston, and Goosen goes in for his second try. And that was that. Some of the things that I think will struggle, that the Hurricanes might struggle with, I'm still a bit concerned about Lamapi being a bit one-dimensional. Shutting the players down outside him. Looking at his stats, he only made one pass all game, but ran it for 6 times. And he only made 20 meters, but he always got over the game line, which is good. Mm. Whereas Jordy Barrett did a good job of stepping in as a second playmaker quite often. His stats: 3 kicks, 11 passes, 8 runs. Much more balanced. Much more getting it out to those players. So for me, I think Lamapi has to get a passing game in there. Otherwise, he's going to be someone that just gets lined up, and you're just going to take him down. But that's the other player we really should be talking about. We had a chat about Leofano earlier, but another player who came back was Dane Coles.
Yeah, came out for 33 minutes or something. He didn't look like he left, had he? He had a really solid game. Apart from that kick he did in that final 15 seconds, I don't know what the point was that was, but he had a pretty good game. I thought the scrum was much better with him on as well. And, that's the reason why he's an All Blacks hooker.
It is, yeah. So 4 months out, comes back. Now, we say 4 months out. Now, his 4 months out had been through concussion issues. I had the luck to go to a closed training session by the All Blacks before the third Lions test, and he was out there training and was running around with the boys. So whilst he's been out for 4 months, it doesn't mean 4 months with no training, no passing, etc. So, but yeah, he looked like he hadn't really been away. One kick, which we should say, went out. One pass and 6 carries. But yeah, so he was there, and that pass led to TJ Perenara scoring a try. So he was back in, looked back to. Back to his best, and we're seeing that, as you say, from the top from the top All Blacks. Kieran Reid came back in that first Lions test, looked like he hadn't been away. Dane Coles comes back, doesn't look like he's been away. There's got to be something going on, and there's something about how they train to allow them to do that, because that is pretty impressive stuff.
Not happen to Australia or anyone else in the world.
Exactly. We all talk about players having game time, match fitness, getting back up to speed. Yeah, these guys don't seem to need that. We've come up to our kind of the half hour that I kind of try and keep these things to. Any other points you want to make about the game?
Not really. I mean, I think we should quickly note about Lee LaFano coming back from leukemia. It was a great moment when he came back onto the field, and a great story. You know, 365 days or something to the day, he played his last game of rugby. Great story. I'm not sure if he should have played or not. I thought maybe someone with more match fitness in the quarterfinal maybe would have been more appropriate. But, you know, he didn't seem to lose his act, and I can't wait to see him next season. But 26-0 against New Zealand's rugby sides this year, Australia. You know, the Brumbies were in the game for 70 minutes. Could have won that game, but they decided not to with their decision making. And, you know, Australians go back to the drawing board as soon as the season's over, the better it'll be. Championship. So that's going to be a great watch for a fan.
It is. Just for a quick look through the notes. Is Cole's return starts? Will Cole start for semis? We'll have to see. That's a fitness thing. We're not going to know that from on the sideline. But he came on as a head injury replacement and did 33 minutes. So he had a pretty good game and didn't look puffed at all. So that all looked fine. The ref needs to check the mark rule. Actually, yes, that's a good point. There was a mark.
That's right. Yeah.
In the game where again it was the Brumbies fly half, and if I'm going to talk about him so much during a podcast, I should learn how to say his name.
However.
He caught the ball, got bundled out.
I don't think it was however. It was, I think it's the Andrew Smith, or it was either the centre or the wing. I don't think it was however.
Wasn't it? Okay, perhaps I'm sorry, harsh. Sorry, I'm wrong. So not sure who it was. So one of the backs caught the ball, got bundled into touch, and afterwards went, "Rev, I called the mark."
No, you didn't.
And everyone's looking around going, "You didn't say a thing." And the ref goes, "Yeah, you're losing. You've lost the game. I'm going to give you it up. I'm going to be kind on you and let you have the mark, because let's be honest, you should have called the mark.
Know your laws."
So, yes, I agree. Yep, the ref was a bit soft on that one there, Joshua. You are right. Thanks everyone who has joined in and been put in comments during the feed. It's much appreciated. I'll be back tomorrow night with Cornflake and Mike Pullman to do a post-match show of the Crusaders versus the Highlanders.
Derby.
The South Island Derby for the third time this season.
I think one thing we want to mention is obviously the Canes now go to South Africa if the Lions win. So do you think the Canes will look even worse going over to South Africa, or you think the Sharks will cut up and then the Canes come over and get the home final?
Well, and the Canes would love the Sharks to win, wouldn't they? And take the Sharks back to Wellington. That would be fantastic. And from a purely selfish point of view, that's what I want to happen, because I can do another one of these after a Hurricanes game, a home game.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm doing one of these at 3 o'clock in the morning after a Lions game, I'm afraid. Sorry, folks. But I can't see it. I can't see the Lions losing to the Sharks. They've won the last five. It should be that should be a home win.
Absolutely.
So, Daniel, where can people get hold of you?
On Scottish Cannon 4 on Twitter, and at the Scottish Cannon on YouTube. Do rugby content, more specifically on the gaming sort of side, but we do discussions all the time, and I've got some decent content over there, so come check that out. We'll get you on, I think, very soon as well. We'll figure out a discussion, get you on next.
Thank you, Rock. I'm Paul, the guy behind Driving More. Please subscribe to this channel, either the YouTube or the podcast, if you're listening to that. It was a good game, and it was good finals footy. As I say, I'm back tomorrow with that. I will be back on Tuesday at 8 p.m. New Zealand time with Daniel and a host of other guests doing Hash Rugby Chat as well on YouTube. So do get involved with that at Driving More on most social media channels. Thank you, everybody. Good night. It's already past midnight. It's my bedtime.
10 o'clock.